More than 3 years after the late Senator Ted Stevens was found guilty of omitting gifts on financial disclosure forms, a report made public today says federal prosecutors intentionally withheld information that could have exonerated him, as well as allowing testimony that they knew was false. The report is the work of a special prosecutor appointed by the Washington, D.C. judge who presided over the Stevens trial. The guilty verdict was thrown out in 2009 after allegations of misconduct by the prosecutors, but the new report details the degree to which they hid information and evidence. Libby Casey covered the Stevens trial and its aftermath for APRN and joins us by phone from Washington. Hi, Libby.
Hi, Lori.
Libby, the report is 500 pages. What were you able to get through, and what does it reveal?
Well, it has an executive summary at the beginning, which is fascinating reading, and it's a good place to start digging into it. And it says that both the prosecution and the investigation phase of this case were permeated by systematic concealment of crucial evidence, and that the prosecution let witnesses onto the stand and give false testimony. A lot of the centers around the main witness, Bill Allen. This guy was a friend of Ted Stevens. He ran the oil field services company, Vico, and he liked rubbing elbows with powerful Alaska politicians. Well, prosecutors said he'd given the Stevens couple, Ted Stevens and his wife Catherine, lots of free gifts, including the renovation of their home in Girdwood. Now, prosecutors said that just the home renovations alone were worth about $250,000, but it turns out they had evidence it was worth far less. They never revealed that. And that's significant, especially because the Stevens couple had paid another company for renovations, and they thought the Bill Allen contributions to the project were rolled into their bills. And they paid $160,000 for this renovation project overall. Well, Ted Stevens had written to Bill Allen twice, and this was entered into evidence during the trial, asking for any outstanding bills. And he even referenced another member of Congress who'd broken the law by taking gifts. He said, "Don't forget Torricelli," referring to New Jersey Senator Robert Torricelli, who got busted. He said, "You know, friendship is one thing, but compliance with the ethics rules is entirely different." That didn't have as much weight, though, during the trial for Ted Stevens' defense, because Bill Allen claimed that Stevens was just covering his you-know-what, protecting himself, and didn't really mean it. He didn't really want a bill. Well, it turned out, Lori, that Allen had changed his tune, because at times he told prosecutors and FBI agents that the whole covering his you-know-what conversation had never happened. He didn't have any memory of it. So he's changing his perspective on this, and the prosecution goes ahead and enters this in and lets Bill Allen go on the stand and say this, even though they know that he's changed his tune on it. So this investigation says the whole prosecution team, four prosecutors and an FBI agent, had what the investigator calls a sort of group long-term memory fail. They just forgot the conversations ever happened.
Libby, Bill Allen had a history of allegedly lying about legal matters. Prosecutors were aware that he had asked an underage teenage prostitute to lie about having sex with him. They didn't reveal that information to Stevens' attorneys.
Yeah, they claimed that that Allen hadn't pressured her to lie about their sexual relationship. And this is important for a number of reasons. One, it just shows that he was willing to lie about legal matters. It could have been used to impeach Allen on the stand, but it was never turned over to Ted Stevens' lawyers. The biggest thing is it would have painted such a different picture of this man. I mean, imagine how that would have gone over. Lawyers for Ted Stevens asking Bill Allen how he'd strong-armed a teenager into lying about having sex with him. It shows his moral quality or lack thereof, and it would have completely changed how the jury would have perceived him. I sat through the trial, Lori, and Bill Allen came across as a sort of old grandfatherly type who'd pulled himself up to success by his bootstraps, grown up poor, managed to succeed, had friends in high places. He'd even been injured in a motorcycle accident, so had this sort of slurred speech like someone who was just a lot older and compromised. And so the jury saw him through a certain lens, and that definitely painted a picture in the jury's mind that would have been vastly different had Ted Stevens' lawyers talked about his moral and legal background.
Libby, Bill Allen isn't the only witness that could have backed up Ted Stevens.
That's right, Lori. There was this guy named Rocky Williams who could have been a crucial witness for Ted Stevens. He was sort of like the foreman or the guy who oversaw Vico's role in the renovation project. And he told prosecutors repeatedly that he also thought the Stevens couple had paid all their bills. that would have really changed the perspective of the whole case. Before Rocky Williams could testify, however, he was down here in Washington. Prosecutors sent him back up to Alaska without telling the judge or telling Ted Stevens' lawyers. They just put him on a plane. And then they said he was too sick to come back down to Washington, and he ended up, he was very ill. He was terminally ill, and he died about 2 months later, but never got to share the testimony that could have been crucial.
Take us back to 2008. Judge Emmett Sullivan had concerns at the time that prosecutors were holding back information. He expressed a lot of frustration with them about that.
Yeah, and some of this did come out during the trial. Judge Sullivan kept reminding the prosecutors, you have to turn over information, you need to, you know, give this piece of evidence or that thing to the prosecutors. And Judge Sullivan expressed frustration, even anger at times, and came close to throwing out the whole thing, but things kept marching forward because the prosecution would apologize and say they were making good, and then they'd turn over the item in question. What's different now, though, is that this investigation shows intention and willfulness and this sort of group memory loss, which, you know, even though the investigator said he can't prove that they were intentionally forgetting things, it's atypical to have all these people sort of forget crucial evidence and forget to turn it over. The case moved very fast because prosecutors came up with this. The Department of Justice drew up charges against Ted Stevens just a couple of months before he was going up for election. And his lawyer said, instead of drawing it out, we want it to happen really fast. We want to prove his innocence before he goes up for election. And it turned out to be chaos. The prosecutors didn't have a lead on the case, and they didn't take the time they needed to really develop the case they needed. How much was intentional and how much was just sloppy, you know, it's up to the eye of the beholder. But it paints a picture of a case that was just a disaster.
Libby, what happens to the prosecutors who are alleged to have intentionally done this?
Well, basically nothing at this point. Some have been reassigned, and the guy who did this investigation, a guy named Hank Schulke, is not recommending that they be criminally charged. Now, this is a hard one to wrap your mind around because he says they clearly had wrongdoing. But it's not a case of contempt because the judge didn't directly order them to disclose information that they didn't. And he says it has to be by the book. Now, you'd think it'd be their job to follow the law and give information over. And, in fact, the judge told them during the case, follow the law. But Schulke says that's just not enough to bring criminal charges against them. There is still a Justice Department Office of Professional Responsibility investigation going on right now, and that could yield something, could result in some reprimands of some type, but that's all behind closed doors, so we don't know what's going on. Now, in another tragic twist to this whole situation, one of the prosecutors killed himself over a year ago now, and so he's written about in this document, but he is no longer alive to even weigh in on what happened.
And Schulke, the investigator, cites in the report case history that deals with this issue of disclosure quite clearly.
Yeah, Lori, sitting through the Stevens trial was like a crash course in legalese because there was a lot of talk of Brady, precedent-setting case in the past that talks about how prosecutors have to turn over evidence that could help the defendant. It's part of the law. But this is an example of them not doing that. And it's this conundrum of how even though they didn't do what they were supposed to, they're still not necessarily being found to have violated the law in a criminal sense. And Lisa Murkowski is incensed over this. Of course, the other senator for Alaska who served with Ted Stevens, she's herself an attorney. She introduced legislation today. Bipartisan legislation with Senator Inouye of Hawaii, a longtime Democratic friend of Ted Stevens, basically saying that evidence has to be turned over and there should be a national standard of providing that evidence in federal cases because it's a little piecemeal across the country. And so we'll see where that goes. But there is an overriding feeling in Washington and on Capitol Hill that Ted Stevens got a raw deal and that people are incensed over what happened to him. So we may see this move forward.
The guilty verdict came down just 1 week before Alaska voters went to the polls and picked Democrat Mark Begich over Senator Ted Stevens, who'd served for 40 years. What has been the reaction in Washington? You mentioned Senator Murkowski, who said today justice should be blind, not blindly ignored.
Yeah, well, she has been, one other thing she's been doing is trying to hold the Attorney General Eric Holder to account for why $1.8 million has been spent now defending those prosecutors. So she's really trying to push this. Now, Holder is the one who said, whoa, 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 whoa. He came into office and looked at all of this. This was initially prosecuted under the Bush administration, and he was the one who said, we've got to throw this whole thing out. This is a disaster. And so while he went forward and encouraged the judge to throw out the Ted Stevens case and the verdict, he has not given information to people like Senator Murkowski about what really went wrong and what happened behind the scenes. Other reactions today, Ted Stevens' attorneys said basically with this evidence, there would have been no guilty verdict. Stevens would not have lost his election, in their opinion, and they say the government basically violated the Constitution. We also read a statement today from Catherine Stevens, Ted Stevens' widow. Of course, Ted Stevens passed away in a plane crash in 2010. Catherine Stevens said her husband very much wanted to read this report and that she's sad he can't. He's not here to do that today.
Well, thank you for discussing the report with us today, Libby.
Thanks, Lori.
Libby Casey covered the Ted Stevens trial and its aftermath for APRN. She's now a host and producer of C-SPAN's morning program, Washington Journal. You can find the full investigative report on our website, alaskapublic.org.